Hey, welcome back, New Life fam. So glad that you're joining in with us again this weekend. For those of you that are at home, for those of you that are staying safe, for those of you that are traveling, I just want to say a special hello to all of you. And for those of you that are maybe joining in for the first time today, I want to greet you as well. And we are currently in a series called Elect Joy. Elect Joy. We are in the middle of a presidential election year. This election is coming up here in just a couple of weeks, and there are people on both sides of the vote that are at odds, and emotions are getting sometimes a little crazy. But you know what? Here's what I know, that no matter what happens in this life, no matter the difficulties, no matter even the disagreements, you can elect joy in your life. And so we're going through the book of Philippians. Philippians is a book in the Bible that originally was a letter from the Apostle Paul written to the church at Philippi. The church of Philippi was a church originally that Paul had planted about 10 years before he wrote this letter, and he's writing them to encourage them. And 16 times in his letter, he mentions joy or rejoice. So you know this is like a theme of the letter of the book of Philippians. And so for us, we are saying, you know what, we're going to choose to elect joy in our life here, now, and today. Even in the midst of a crazy world, we're going to have joy. So last week we said you could have joy always. And we said that if your pursuit is happiness, then essentially when the pursuit is happiness, you want to try to set up all of the things outside of you to be just right and in order, because happiness is external. So if home is good, if the finances are good, if work is good, if your boss is good, then you can be happy. But not all the planets don't align every day. So if happiness is external and it all has to line up in order for you to attain it, well, you have another option. You could elect to have joy, because joy is internal. And if joy is internal, that means no matter what happens externally, it can't rob your joy. And we see that happiness is really by chance, because the Latin root word of happiness means by chance. It just happens. It's a luck of the draw. And so if happiness is by chance and you want to keep rolling the dice to have happiness and you want to keep running that lottery to try to find happiness, well, then you can elect joy, because joy is a choice. And the best joy choice you could ever make is to invite Jesus into the center of your world, because when Jesus is your joy, you can't lose. Paul said it in Philippians chapter 1. He says, because to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So if Jesus is your joy, you can't lose. And if you want to get caught up on our series and check out last week's message, you can always do that, newlifeforkokomo.org. There's an archive of all of our messages there. But today, new content. Today we're saying joy beyond yourself. You can have joy beyond yourself. If your pursuit of joy is simply in the tangibles, your pursuit of joy is really about aligning happiness externally. And even if you have found Christ and you want to really expand and develop that joy, you can have joy that goes beyond yourself. So let's jump right into Philippians chapter 2 this week, chapter 2, verse 1. And Paul's writing here, of course, and he says, therefore, if any of you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, and if any common sharing in the Spirit, in any tenderness and compassion. So in other words, what Paul, I feel like he's saying here, is he's saying, hey, listen, if anybody has ever, ever, ever been impacted by God, listen closely. So if you have been impacted by God, what he's about to say next is for you. It's for you. So if you have been impacted by God, Paul is saying, hey, that's great. This is good. You have established that Jesus is your joy and you can't lose. This is awesome. You have built a vertical connection with God. So you've got this vertical thing going. But then watch what he says. So if God's impacted your life in any way, he says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit, and in one mind. So you have this vertical connection with God. Hey, this is awesome. Jesus is your joy. He's your source. Now, man, make this joy complete by what? by building a horizontal connection with God through his church. So in order to do that, he's saying you have to have the same love, like-minded, one spirit, and one mind. So here's the first thing I would say is that joy is complete in community. Joy is complete in community. Your source of joy is your vertical connection to God. But he's saying, let's make this joy complete and get it right horizontally in your relationships. Better yet, in community, being like-minded, having one purpose, one spirit, and you can make this joy complete in community. A common thing that people say is, oh, but you know, Pastor Devin, I can worship God all on my own. And you're right. That is true. You can worship God on your own. But the problem is that the main purpose of the church was never worship. It wasn't the main purpose of the church. The main purpose of the church was a group of people growing up in Christ to show other groups of people what God looks like. And so journeying with people in order to manifest the best life to another group so that they can come and get on board with this best life. That is what this community is all about, is about this joy being complete when we come together in community. In other words, you don't have to be alone. Don't do it alone. We're better together. And by doing so, we are going to grow up in Christ together, and we will show the world what the love of God looks like so that we can be a billboard to every unsaved, lost person, and they can see the sign of the church that says, this is the best life, life with God and life with his church. 1 John chapter 4, it says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. So no one has ever seen God, but they see us. You know what they see when they see us? They should see God in us. No one has ever seen God, but they see us, and they should see God in us. And God, you know what he looks like? God looks like family. God looks like every tribe, every nation, every tongue. God looks like, in other words, every race. He looks like every age. He looks like both man and woman. And having the same love, one in spirit, and of one purpose. So make this joy complete. God lives in me individually, and God is made complete in us in community. So if you want to have joy beyond yourself, your joy can be made complete in community. This is why at New Life Church, life groups have such an emphasis for us, because we believe life is relationships. We believe that doing life together, we believe that nobody should ever have to be alone, but we can come together and there is great joy in community. So if you want to have joy, to live beyond yourself, you got to have community. You got to have unity. And so I would say that healthy community requires humility and unity. So to make this joy complete in community, it's essential that there is this like value system that is rooted in humility and unity. Humility towards one another and the ability to be unified together. And even when our political stances are different, we can be humble and we can have unity. Even when somebody rubs you the wrong way, you can give them the benefit of the doubt by being humble, and you can choose unity so the completeness of joy continues to be built up and built up in our lives. Let's go to the next verse, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Once again, Paul, he's saying, if God's impacted your life, then you got to complete this joy together. And now he's given us some things that we need to do. He says, so do not Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. So here's what I would say next is number two is that community adopts an others first mentality. So if you want your joy to be complete, joy is complete in community. And community adopts an others first mentality. Without an others first mentality, and if you've ever been in a place like that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you're in a group and it's absent of an others first mentality, you don't get community. Do you know what you get? You get competition. And competition is a fight for supremacy. So competition is always out to be better than the other person. When there is a culture of competitiveness, it's about rising to the top. It's about trying to put others down so that I can be elevated above them. But that is not what community is. Community adopts an others first mentality. Not a me first, an others first. So competition has no place in community. You don't need to be better than anybody else. What you need to do is put others before yourself. And I know that that's totally opposite of what our world teaches us to do. And that's the beauty of the kingdom of God, is this others first mentality. Competition always kills community. It makes people feel disconnected. It makes people feel disvalued. It makes people feel unwanted. Community is built upon valuing one another. And I'm going to build you up, and you're going to build me up, and we're going to build community, and joy will be complete in us. So one who lives to compete will never be satisfied until they reach the top. And because only one person can be first, so why might as well be me? That's the mentality of a competitive person. And so when you've done run everyone else off, you will have first place all to yourself. And by doing so, you will be there all alone. You've run off everybody else that you've competed with. You've made yourself look better than everybody else. You've put other people down so that you could elevate yourself. And now, congratulations, you are better than everybody else. And you will have to face the consequence of just how lonely having the outright lead is. Or you can humble yourself, have an others first mentality, and never have to be alone, but have community. So community adopts an others first mentality. Because here's the reality, a self-centered person, a self-centered life only magnifies their own misery. But an others centered life will always generate joy. Did you know that? Have you ever experienced this? Self-centered people end up being some of the most miserable people I've ever met. They can't prolong that type of satisfaction of being first. When deep down, it's really about they just want to be accepted. And so they're trying to be accepted by good works. They're trying to be accepted by being the most liked, the most noticed, the most heard, the most outspoken. But it's draining. It's draining. The reality is, if you really want to generate joy in your life, you've got to stop focusing on yourself, and you've got to be others-centered. Start building other people up to be built up. If you want more friends, you know what you got to do? You got to be a good friend to somebody else, and you will have more friends in your life. If you want to have joy beyond yourself, adopt an others-first mentality. Did you know that many therapists believe that there is an antidote to some people's depression? And some people's and depression happens in many different ways. But for some people, they say that if you take 30 days, and do something for somebody without expecting anything else in return, one time a day for 30 days, they said that you will feel more fulfilled than you ever were. It will actually fill your life by giving your life to other people. So this is an other-centered life. It generates joy. It actually will reduce anxiety and depression in your life when you're giving your life for a greater good, a greater cause. When you are investing your life into the life of others, it actually has this reverse effect in giving you life. So let's look at 1 John 3:16, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. A core value in community is showing people that they have value. That is the core value of developing a community where people can come and not feel down, but actually get joy in their life when they are shown that they have true worth and true value. We can show people their value when we value them above ourselves, and we can show them, you are valuable to us, because Jesus showed us this ultimate value that we carry when he traded his life for ours. It was that act alone that all of humanity can know that you have value. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter what anybody else has ever said about you. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. It doesn't matter how much education you were able to acquire. All of humanity can know that Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. And by doing so, it shows the value that you must have, that God himself would bankrupt heaven. He would spend all he had, which was the life of his own son, in order to have you. So how valuable are you to God? You mean the world to him. You mean everything to him. And so when people walk into our church community, we want them to know the value they have. And they may not be able to see God, but they see us. And they should see God in us. And that should relate the message to them of just how valuable they are. That's why he says, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So Jesus, when it comes to this others first mentality, that's what community is. It's others first. Jesus is our ultimate example. And so I say, embody Christ's example. Embody Christ's example. Philippians 2, let's look at the next verse, Philippians 2. Verse 5, it says, in your relationships with one another. Now I just want to pause right there. Notice what it says, in your relationships with one another, which means everything that's coming after this, you know where you need to apply it. You need to apply it in your relationships with one another. He says, in your relationships, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who, being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He could have. He could have used it to his advantage. He didn't. Instead, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He didn't have to do that. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know what this tells me? Is that Jesus was better than us. He was better than us. Yet, he treated us better than him. Can you imagine that taking place in community? Instead, sometimes I'm afraid we see sometimes the flip side, where people believe they're better than others. And so they treat people worse. But the example we have in Jesus is he was better than us, but he didn't consider equality with God something to take advantage of. Instead, he humbled himself. He became a servant to broken humanity, and yet he treated us better than him by allowing himself to go to death, even death on a cross. He is better than we deserve. You see, really what we deserved is we deserved the death that Jesus died. But the message that Jesus wants each of you to understand is that when he went to the cross, He went to the cross not so that you get what you deserve. He went to the cross to make a declaration for all time to all of humanity, a declaration of your worth and your value. He didn't have to do it. He chose you. And somebody needs to hear that today, that God has chosen you. He chose you in your brokenness. He chose you in your rebellion. He chose you, and instead, when we deserved wrath and we deserved punishment for our mistakes, our failures, turning our back on him, instead of that, he chose to show you what you're worth and not what you deserve. That's the powerful message of Jesus. And when you get a hold of that, man, it'll fill you with so much joy in your life. Fill you with so much joy. So the joy you're searching for, it's not happiness in tangibles. It's a joy that is found in him and to be surrounded by him and his church. So if you want to have joy beyond yourself, you have to get over yourself. If you want joy beyond yourself, you have to begin to live in humility, to have unity. So this is hard to hear, but you're gonna have to get over yourself. And if you want true joy deep inside, you're gonna have to get over yourself and realize that only Jesus can save you. That there's nothing you can do to save yourself, only Jesus can. You've gotta get over yourself. Maybe you're struggling in relationships. Maybe you're struggling with a spouse, you're struggling with your children, maybe you're struggling with your coworkers. You're gonna have to get over yourself. Lay down your pride. Choose to adopt the example that Jesus gives us in laying down your life for one another. Investing yourself in the lives of others. Being a giver. Being humble. Being a servant. And realize that joy complete is in community. Community only happens when a group of people choose to have an others first mentality. The only way you can have an others first mentality, you have to get over yourself. You have to get over yourself. So it's time to stop playing the games. It's time to cancel the game altogether. It's time to cancel the competition that you're in. When you're looking across the room and you're wondering, they probably think they're better than me. No, because ultimately you just want to be better than them. Cancel the competition. Choose humility. Show others their true value when you value them above yourself. So you need more joy in your relationships? Humble yourself. You want to have more favor at work? Humble yourself. You want better connections with and networking with coworkers? Humble yourself. You want your children to listen and obey and to love you? Humble yourself. What about at church? You want to feel more connected in this community? Humble yourself. Don't be in competition. Humble yourself. And may we be at New Life Church, a community of people following Christ, serving one another, growing together so that we can show the world what God looks like. The transforming love of God. In you too, and in our community, we can have joy beyond ourselves. Heavenly Father, I pray for everybody that's watching this today. God, that you are stirring something in their heart even right now. There might be relationships they need to work on. There might be some forgiveness they need to walk through. Somebody might need to invite you as the giver of joy into their life so they can have the vertical connection reestablished so that on this horizontal connection in community, we can thrive and grow together. God, I pray that New Life Church will be a church that builds a community where it is impossible for anybody to walk alone. That New Life Church will be a place that we have an others first mentality, that we adopt, God, the example of Christ, of laying our lives down for one another for the sake of your kingdom, that we would cancel competition and choose community. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. If you're a regular New Lifer and you'd like to continue your worship through giving, there are three different ways you can give. You can give on our website, newlifeforkokomo.org. You can mail your giving to the church. The address is 1803 East Vail Avenue, Kokomo, Indiana, 46901. Or you can text New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.